everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Oh, sing that again. Oh, let's all get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Oh, you talk about people, you talk about things that really aren't important at all. You talk about weather, you talk about problems we have here at home and abroad. Oh, but friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world. I'm gonna shout and sing that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Oh, now let's get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Let's sing that second verse now. Oh, you talk about people, you talk about things that really aren't important at all. You talk about weather, you talk about problems we have here at home and abroad. Oh, but friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world. I'm gonna shout and sing that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Oh, now let's get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Oh, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my, are you excited? Are you really excited? Amen. I tell you what, friends, we are living in an exciting time. We are part of an exciting thing. I just love how Brother Aaron has brought that out this weekend about the most fantastic event ever in the history. We are actually a part of that. Oh, that's exciting. That really is, and my kids ain't here to hear me say this, but that ought to crank your tractor this evening. Amen. I just love him so much. Now, I'm going to get you all involved. I'm not going to let you all go to sleep this evening. I know we've partaken of all of those carbs out there. We had a wonderful meal, and we've got warm and cozy. But we're going to get involved this evening. There's an old song that I'd like to do, and it really come to me this morning while Brother Aaron was preaching, talking about how this message was the herald of his coming. And I'd really like to sing this old song. Let's try it in the key of B flat, Brother Matt. Now listen, I'm telling you, you got to pay attention because this song's got a lot of words to it. How many knows this song? Oh, now I know that these folks from Ruth over here knows this song, so I know that. So we're going to learn this together. But it's called "The Message of His Coming." Let's try it. We're looking for His coming in the clouds of heaven, coming back to earth to catch away His own. then may we all be ready when midnight cry is given to go reign with Christ on His throne. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for that final calm. We're longing for the glory that awaits the faithful, who shall overcome and every conflict win. Press ever bravely onward, the prize is life eternal, to all who win the fight over sin. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for that final call. We're praying for the advent of our blessed Savior, who has promised life to all who trust His grace. His coming now is pending, the message being given, and soon we'll see our Lord face to face. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for that final calm. We see His signs appearing of His blessed coming. Lo, behold, the fig leaves now becoming green. The gospel of His kingdom has gone to every nation. That we are near the end can be seen. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for that final call. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for that final call. Give yourselves a hand. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Those old songs I can remember growing up as a child over there, Big Mike Orders, standing up there. He always seemed like he was about 9 foot tall to me as just a little boy. He'd just rear back and sing those songs. But what's amazing is now that I've got my own relationship with Christ, these songs, they mean so much to me now. And I just certainly love the way that the Lord just is just showing things to us. It is certainly an exciting time. Amen. Tell you, after Jaron took an old Methodist song this morning and turned it into a Pentecostal, I said, that was hard. That was a tough thing to follow this morning. But I told him I'd never, ever heard that song sung like that before in my life, but I liked it. I felt like I could sing that song now. Before we go on into the service here, let's sing that song, We Worship You, Almighty God. Amen. Let's just lift our hands to Him and just give Him some praise. We worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. Yes, I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is why I want to do, I give You praise, for You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty. sing it one more time now.
Oh, I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do.
Okay, that was a prayer request for Jaden. He's doing fine now. Praise the Lord for that. We want to continue to remember Brother Troy Hughes' sister. She's needing prayer. She's having some blindness, and we want to remember that prayer request. Also, we have a prayer request for Sister Cindy, who has a bad case of bronchitis. So we want to remember Sister Cindy Walters. As you can look around, there's quite a few that's missing this evening that's traveling. We want to remember Brother Barry and Sister Becky as they're over in Norway. The Lord give them safe traveling mercies back. My kids are traveling down to South Carolina this evening. I'd like for you to remember them. Also, like for you to remember my brother Brian. He had to leave out and go up to Massachusetts. So just keep him in your prayers. Also, remember my wife. She was having a whole lot of pain this afternoon, and she's doing fine. She's just healing. It's just a process of getting healed, and that was a pretty significant trauma on her body, and she's trying a little bit too hard, I think. I told her she just needs to slow down, let the Lord do His thing, and so just keep her in your prayers. I know there's many unspoken requests among us. Amen. We want to continue to, I did want to mention too, to continue to remember Sister Angie Pritchard's mother and her mother. She's doing a lot of traveling, and that's just really tough, having to go back and forth to Georgia like she is. And just really hold her and Brother Mike up in your prayers. Amen. I'd like to ask Brother Josh if he would come up here and lead us to the Lord in prayer this evening. Also remember Brother Aaron as he comes to bring forth the word. He'll be traveling again tomorrow, I'm sure. And just remember him in prayer as well.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we ask You, Lord, tonight just to come and dwell amongst us, Lord, this evening. Lord, I know we're all tired, Lord. We could probably even be thinking about work, Lord, tomorrow and all that we have to prepare for, Lord. But may we just take this time and may You just take control of our minds, Lord. And may we just take it, Lord, and focus on You. May this evening just be a special time, Lord, for the saints, Lord. And we pray, Lord, especially for the ones, Lord, who couldn't be here, Lord, and the ones that are traveling, Lord, back from Louisiana camp, and our pastor going to be traveling back, Lord, over the ocean, Lord, back here home. Lord, we pray You would just bless those ones that are not feeling well, Lord, and bless the ones, Lord, who are just listening in, Father, tonight. We pray, Lord, for Brother Aaron, Lord, may You bless him, Father, tonight, and may You just help him, Lord, just to have his own personality, Lord. Not be the focus, Lord, but may it be Your will, Father. May You just help us, Lord, just to draw a little closer, Lord, to You. May You reveal Yourself, Lord, to us in a different way, maybe a different light, Father. May You just bless this singing, Lord. May it just be a blessing, Lord, to Your ears. And help us, Lord, just to step out of the way, and may our worship be pleasing to You, Father. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Josh, you may be seated. Now, a couple weeks ago, I kind of fussed at everybody about all these singers and nobody coming forth to sing. So today, this evening, I ended up with like 6 song requests. Now, the only problem is there was none this morning. So what we want to do is I'm only going to be able to get a couple of you in. So just forgive me. I still want you to sing. If I don't call your name, please forgive me. You sing next Sunday, because we need Wednesday night and Sunday morning singers too. Amen. I'd like to ask Sister Kristen if she would come, and they'll be getting ready to sing. Also, Sister Caroline has got a song. We're going to have her come as soon as Sister Kristen's done. As Sister Kristen's coming, let's just sing that song, There Is None Like You.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. If I just remember.
Thank you so much for those beautiful songs. Now, I'm putting these two on the spot. I told Sister Faye and Brother Wayne actually after church that I hadn't got to hear them sing in a long time. And they sing one of my favorite songs of all time, and I just thought that I felt like it would go along with these services. We're talking about the resurrection, but what will it be when we really get over yonder? What's it going to be like when I see my dad for the first time after being gone 7 years, and the last picture I saw of him was a sickly body devoured by cancer, and he's going to be a fine-looking young man, my grandfather, my grandmother, all my saints. What will it be when we get over yonder? Now, the only catch was is I told them they had to let me sing it with them. I love this song. And they can't nobody sing it like Sister Faye. Can't nobody sing it like Sister Faye. So you all help us out too. It's good to have Brother Wayne and Sister Faye back with us, isn't it? Amen. Thank you.
Just like to say that it's good to be here tonight. Just thank the Lord for this great end time message that we've been hearing. You know, there's nothing that will satisfy like that word. Amen. Now, I can hear Brother Branham telling stories about people getting healed, and it just makes me bawl like a baby. He was talking last week about the brother Adams, I believe it was it Adams or anyway, he had backslidden, come back to the Lord, and he had taken cancer, and they took him to all the best physicians, and no one could help him. They give him up, and Brother Branham saw those naughty apples come down. Remember that story? 5 naughty apples came down, and then one perfect, beautiful apple come down and swallowed them all up. And he said, 5 days, he will be healed. He will be back. And he went and told the brother's wife. He was a minister. Brother Hall, that was his name. Not Adams, it was Hall. And I tell you, it just tears me up when I hear these stories, knowing that God is, He's still the same, and He's not a God of yesterday, but He's a God of today also. Amen. Praise the Lord. And little Georgie Carter, oh my, such a story. I just appreciate the Lord tonight that we could be a part of this. And I want to thank y'all for praying for me and problems I've been having, and they're going to start doing shots, steroid shots in my back of my neck. So hopefully that'll help me, but we just keep pressing on. Amen. I love this song. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Strive, we're free. No, I'm
stand and sing it with us now. Saints, when we get over there and never have to leave this presence ever again. Oh, what a wonderful time. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive our evening tithe and offering, and we'll go ahead and invite Brother Aaron to come. Amen. Brother David, if you would just bless the offering. Amen. Have you enjoyed Brother Aaron this weekend? I just want to personally thank him for taking the time to come and to leave his family and come up here. And I just want to say that I can remember him when he was getting started years ago. I just told him back there that it has been, his ministry has grown so much over those years. And that's a sign that somebody surrenders their life to God and lets God use them. And I just so appreciate him and thank him for his gift and sharing that with us. And I just ask you to pull on him one more time tonight, and I'm sure we'll have a time. So as Brother Aaron comes, let's sing that song, Have Your Way.
Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As we wait.
your way. Oh, just sing it again now as Brother Aaron comes. Oh, have your way.
Yes, Lord.
Have your way.
Have your way in this service, in the evening time of this Easter Sunday. We're so excited to be able to be gathered again, together around your word and with believers of a precious faith, Lord. We ask that as you at one time would come down in the cool of the evening and walk with Adam and Eve, that you'd come now and break the bread of life to us in this evening time. Just as you drew near to those disciples on the road to Emmaus at the evening time, you came and walked with them. Made yourself known. Lord, we're asking that you would do it once again. We commit ourselves to you, desiring that you take control of this service for your glory. Lord, if we have any previous conceptions about how the service should unfold or the way the minister should speak, we just abandon any of our own thoughts and just yield completely to you and trust that you'll speak to us. We thank you, Father, for this blessed weekend. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Man, I'd like to read from Mark chapter 16 while we're standing. Mark chapter 16. I'll read just a few verses at the beginning of that chapter. I want to thank everyone for their kindness towards us and the friendship you show and the fellowship that we've had this weekend. I look forward to another opportunity to be together. And like I said this morning, maybe have a chance to bring our family. I know my children love it here. My wife loves coming here. We always just enjoy our time together as family. So just want to thank you again for your hospitality and the kindness you expressed to us. Special thank you to your pastor, Brother Barry. I certainly look up to him and appreciate his mentorship in the gospel and the friendship we have around the word. And appreciate the opportunity he gave us to be able to come a long way to take his place on an Easter weekend. I think it shows just how much he appreciates you and loves you. He actually gave you meetings while he was gone. And I think that just shows how much he appreciates you and wanted you to still have a special Easter weekend. You can always talk to him about the speaker he asked to come, but he at least wanted to have meetings for you this weekend in his absence. And I think that speaks to his heart as a pastor. And I was glad that I could have the opportunity to be a part of it. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, so now it's telling us that Saturday is over, that seventh day of the week is passed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came of the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Amen. God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Brother Bram takes that as one of his texts. He has three different texts. When he preaches the rising, it is the rising of the sun. But this is the one that he takes, showing there at the beginning of the week, on that first day of the week, on Sunday, as we've gathered today on a Sunday, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And we could read even further, we'd see that they say, the stone is going to be rolled over the grave, and how are we going to get it open, and who's going to help us? And they saw that the stone was already rolled away, that great stone was rolled away, and that the tomb was empty. There had been a resurrection. And what we're looking at is not the resurrection that was, even though it was a resurrection. As Brother Brandon says, what a resurrection that was. We're looking at the resurrection that is. Brother Brandon is saying, what a resurrection this is to be quickened from the dead. And where we're ending this morning is showing that at the opening of the seals, there was a quickening power that came to quicken the body of Christ from the dead. and that the condition of the church and the church ages after, even right there before the seals are opened, Brother Branham characterizes it as being dead, dead as a doornail, dead in creeds and dead in dogmas. And even after the great move and outpouring of the Pentecostal restoration of the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost there in the Laodicean church age, just in a few short years, it gets all mixed up again, and it still is in, it's dead, and it needs a quickening, and it needs a revival. And the opening of the Word was the bride's revival. And Brother Branham even talks about how when she begins to line herself up with the Word, that's her revival. Because the Word is our reviving. It's what brings us to life. It's what quickens us to life. And that's why Brother Branham says, even in the time of the indictment, that the church system and the church age systems and how God was working in those ways and using those systems at the time when Christ is crucified the second time, he says, from then on comes the Word and the Word only. And it's the mechanics with the dynamics that gives the bride a resurrection now, today, present tense, the bride being revived, being resurrected to accomplish full redemption. And so it is, and this is where it's been in my heart even through these last two services. And I have to tell the story in case nobody else knows it. But there were some people thinking there was only two services and didn't know until I said last night that there was three, that there was three services. I say, hey, look, don't make me force one on you if there's not a third service. I can catch a flight out this afternoon and be on the lake in the morning. If there's another service, I'll wait to leave tomorrow. And what I've been pondering this whole time and what I'm preaching tonight is really what I would have wanted to preach last night, what I would have wanted to preach this morning. Because what the things that I want to share with you, just Brother Brown just brings it right to you, personally to you, how you're a part of this resurrection. It's a resurrection that we've got to see taking place now. Thanking Him for what was, expecting what will be, but enjoying the resurrection right now. And Brother Branham, the evening after he preaches, It Is the Rising of the Sun, on April 18th, 1965, in the evening, he preaches, Does God Ever Change His Mind About His Word? And he, in the morning, he preached, It Is the Rising of the Sun. And he comments, he says, and I can't say that I'll apologize for that long, long message this morning. So if Brother Branham didn't apologize for long, long messages, maybe I won't either. He says, but I want to wear, he says, I didn't want to wear out your patience and then come at it again tonight. He says, but I wanted to get that message to you that you are a part of this resurrection. And listen to what he says, and don't worry about it no more. See? Just rejoice over it. There is nothing, nowhere can separate you from it. Nothing. Eternally secured in the kingdom of God, when God has stamped his seal upon you, you are to the end of the destination. And so he's saying, you are a part of this resurrection, and don't worry about it no more. He says, just rejoice over it. And even if death is to come and to take a loved one, or if you were to go by way of death, don't worry about it. You're just crossing over to that great meeting that's gathering in that other dimension. Everyone's gathering together for that meeting. And there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid about. He says, you are a part of this resurrection. And he says it at the beginning of that message. He comes back to it in paragraph 201. He says, God love you each one. I'm so thankful to have people like you all. He says, what would my message be if I had nobody that believed it? And what an awesome statement. What would my message be if I had nobody to believe it? And there's people here, you would die for it, for this message we got. May God help you, each one. My prayers are with you. My blessings go with each of you. May you not forget that you are a part in that resurrection. The quickening power is in you now. It's all settled. You are God's child. So that resurrection is in you now. Quickening power is in you now. The mechanics to the dynamics, which is the resurrection. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a message that he's speaking out to the bride's body. Because that's where the Holy Ghost is. That's where the Word is. That's where all the mechanics and all the dynamics are, is in the bride's body today. Outside of that, there is no life. Brother Manum teaches us and he shows that denominations cannot produce a birth. They can only produce stillborn children. There is no life in the organizations, in denominations, to bring forth children. It can only come through the Word of God. You say, well, you mean it only comes to the message? I'm not talking about a collection of churches or people that have the picture of the cloud in the foyer and the pillar of fire and the platform. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where the Word is, there is life. And only where the Word is there life. And as Mary and the Marys were coming, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were coming to the tomb on that first day of the week. And it's after those 7 days, on the first day of the week, on that Sunday morning, they're coming. And in their minds, they're coming to anoint a dead body. And they're pondering, well, how are we going to get the stone rolled away? And these different dynamics that they might, mechanics they might have been thinking about in terms of being able to prepare this, to treat the body. But when they come, they find this great stone is rolled away. And that there's an announcement that he's not dead. Why seek ye the dead, the living among the dead? What you're seeking, the one you're seeking is living. He's not dead. So why come to a tomb to find him? Why come to something that's dead to find life? Because there's been a resurrection. And so the seal of that tomb had been broken on that morning and had released the bridegroom. It was the rising of the sun at the rising of the sun. Exactly what the scripture says. They came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and the S-O-N had risen when the S-U-N had risen. And so there had been a breaking of the seal that day, a breaking of a new day. I just think of how everything changes at that moment when the sun is risen. And Brother Branham says this in paragraph 43 of It Is the Rising of the Sun. He says, now on this great breaking of the Easter seal. And he's using that language talking about the Easter seal and the breaking of the Easter seal. He says, and now the true Easter seal on this sunrise was broken, and the secret of life after death was revealed. He said, before that time, we didn't know. And I want you, as I read this, think about the parallel to the darkness that existed then and the darkness that exists now. Because when Brother Branham was drawing out the church ages, he said there was just a little bit of light that he had left. But then when the Lord declared it in the heavens, there was no light left in that seventh church age. And so it's the darkest, he says, of all the ages. It's the most dark time that the world has ever been in, the most chaotic time the world has ever been in. That's the time we're in now. And Brother Branham uses much of the same language in his first coming. They were groping in darkness and they were all mixed up in their traditions. And this is what he's saying here. He says, the world grouped in darkness, groped around, man's suspicions, theories was among man's hearts, traditions made up. Man worshipped idols, they worshipped the sun, they worshipped all kinds of gods, and all kinds of people that made claims. They all went into the grave and stayed in the grave. But the real seal had been broken, and the one who once lived as we live, died as we will die, was risen from the dead. What a morning! Never one like it in all the history of the world. The secret was made known that he was both resurrection and the life. And he said, when he come forth on that morning, because I live, you live also. Now, he had said that before his resurrection, but now it's being declared. When he said, because I live, he was actually prophesying. Because I'm going to be resurrected, because I will live, you shall live also. Now, only was he the beneficiary. Not only was he the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seed that was resting in God's great promise was a benefactor of that resurrection to life. I think I preached last year, if I was here last Easter, I preached on the beneficiaries of his resurrection, or resurrection benefits. Probably drew from the same sermon. And some of you probably thinking, Brother Heron, you preach the same thing every time you're here. I have to just say, well, maybe you just need to keep hearing it. He said he was that not only was he a beneficiary, but we are all the seed resting in God's great promise. We're a benefactor of that resurrection to life, because he said, because I live, ye shall live also. That was the breaking of the seal. Because he was brought up, so will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with him. So that resurrection makes way for the resurrection. His resurrection has made a way that anyone who would die would live again. Not just in a place of waiting in another dimension, waiting for the translation. They're just not in another dimension waiting, but there will be a translation. There'll be a resurrection. There'll be a change of our bodies. There'll be a meeting in the air. There'll be a millennium. There'll be an eighth day, an eternal day. Where the new heavens and new earth, those wonderful things that are going to be. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. And he says, that was the breaking of the seal. And the statement we've read last night and again this morning is, because I live, ye live also, speaking to his wife. And so he is saying something that is a prophecy. And it's from John chapter 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now, it may not seem like a prophecy, but it is. Because I live, ye live also. Brother Bam says, speaking to his wife. Because I live, ye live also. What a resurrection that was, and what a resurrection this is. So Brother Branham has connected John 14, 19 with the wife, which we know that takes place at this time. This is the time of the invisible union. This is the time where the church becomes bride. This is the time where the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. So Brother Branham says, when he says, because I live, ye shall live also, he's speaking to the bride that's to be made his wife. Speaking of an end time resurrection. He's speaking of an event that transpires in the day that we're living in this invisible union between Christ and his bride, wherein the church becomes wife. Because Brother Branham talks about the first woman, and she fell before Adam, he says, before he could take her to be wife, or before that union was consummated, before they could bring forth children. He says, she had fallen. He says, before Jesus could take his church to be wife, she had done the same thing. Right? That's what Brother Bam teaches about the first woman. And then he says even about that first church before he could make her wife, she's fallen. But in the end time, in this last days, he raises her back up. And before Satan can get to her, he has already secured the union. And he takes you as his wife. And there's an invisible union to take you to a meeting in the air. And that's the time that we're living in. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I was resurrected, ye shall be resurrected also. My bride's body, this body that goes into the ground because of the persecution, this body which is torn down through four death messengers, I will raise it up again. Because I went into the ground and resurrected in the third day. If this church be torn down, if it goes into death, I will resurrect it again. And we know that spiritually the church went into the ground, but she'll be raised back up. She's raised back up in this resurrection. And verse 20 also of John chapter 14, it includes a prophecy that Brother Branham relates to the end time. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You've heard Brother Branham quote that scripture. And when he quotes it, he takes it in a uniting time and sign. He says, at that day, he says, what day? This day. The scripture then, it says, at that day ye shall know. It's this day that we're living in. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And we're not talking about necessarily, well, was he in the church? Was he out of the church? Was he in you? Was he not in you? Some people take the statements Brother Branham makes, and they say there hasn't been a baptism of the Holy Ghost until the seals are opened. I heard one brother preach. I was in Africa, so you don't know him. But he said it was God above us in the Old Testament, God with us in Jesus, then God on us through the church ages. And I was like, just show me one quote. Just show me one where it's God on us. And then after the seals are open, God in us. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when it came into the church and at the day of Pentecost, it's been the Holy Ghost in the true believer since that time. And never has it left. There's always been a believer on this earth who's been baptized and sealed with that genuine seal of God. And so when he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you, it's not so much does it relate to whether or not he's actually been in individuals, but it's what you know. At that day ye shall know. It's talking about revelation, talking about understanding. And Brother Branham says in uniting time and sign, at that day, what day? This day, we find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. So he's revealing something to his elect. He's taking those with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and taking them deeper, taking them to their placing, going to take us ultimately to our adoption and the change of our bodies. And Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He refers to John 14, 20. And Jesus said, at that day, that's this day. At that day, when this revelation is made known. When the revelation is made manifest, he says, then when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you and you in me. So it's the revelation that brings this understanding, that brings the full manifestation of I in you and you in me. So Brother Branham's taking John 14:19, speaking to his wife, because I was resurrected, she will be resurrected also. And then John 14:20, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and I in you, ye in me, and I in you. He takes that and places it at a time when the revelation is made known. So these are end time scriptures for the moment that you're living in. And you say, well, when the revelation comes, what revelation? He says, Christ in the church is just being made known. So he says, and Christ is the mystery. Christ in the church is just being made known. He says also again, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. One angel stayed back, a messenger with Abraham and the elected group. And what kind of sign did he do? And what did Abraham call him? Elohim. God manifested in flesh. Jesus showing that he himself, God in him, will be manifested in his bride in the last days. He says, oh my, there's just no end to it. Just a revelation of God. It's eternal. It just keeps moving on and on and on. As soon as somebody says, this is it, God keeps moving on. It just keeps moving on and on and on. And that great sign of Genesis 18 and what we saw in Brother Branham's ministry was declaring that God himself, Jesus Christ, will be manifested in his bride in the last days. At what day? This day. At the day you shall know that I in you and ye in me, because we will see him, because he lives, we shall live also. And it is the rising of the sun. He quotes it again. He references it a few times. It says, and because I live, ye live also. And I live in you, and the works that I do. And now he's quoting from John 14:12. The works that I do will identify myself in you. What a message. No wonder we've had a dark world of theology. But in the evening time, there shall come light again. There will be a resurrection in the evening time. It shall be light at the evening time. Now, when that light comes up, he's saying, when this light comes up, that is this spiritual resurrection that he's talking about. This is the light that will come up at the evening time. And I tell you, it's a paradox, because at the evening time, it's a setting sun. So when we think evening time, we think setting sun. But just as the sun is setting for some, it's rising for others. In the natural world, as the sun is setting for some, it's rising for others. As it sets in the Western Hemisphere, it's actually rising in the Eastern Hemisphere. And so when Brother Branham is preaching Shalom, and there's a man here who can turn on the light, he wasn't just trying to build our expectation for something that'll be one day. But then he comes, he says, it is the rising of the sun. And so the evening light, those that are still in evening time, all they can see is the setting sun. But when the revelation strikes, you see the rising of the sun. He says, and Christ is revealed in his own word, I believe it is. He says, right at closing time, that the sun, he's talking about, it shall be light at the evening. He says, right at the closing time, that the sun would come out, there would be an evening light. So he's talking about the sun coming out as the evening light. In the same message, he says, the same light that was in the morning. That's what we have the privilege of enjoying. We're not watching a sunlight that's waning and disappearing and going to soon be vanquished and go into the night. That's not our promise. Our light is a light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This sunlight that you're enjoying, this risen sun that you're enjoying, this spiritual resurrection that you're partaking in, this feasting on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, it's going to lead you to that perfect day and a day that never ends. And the message seed is not air with a shuck. He said he had this great mystery of God made known. He that this great mystery of God made known understands how that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. How that he and the Father were one. How that the great mysteries of the fulfilling of God taking and bringing himself. And I may be going a little bit fast tonight. It's because I got a plane to catch tomorrow and I got a lot of hay in my fork. He's saying God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. How that he and the Father were one. And remember, at this day ye shall know. Not only that he is one with the Father, but I and you and me. And he says how that the great mysteries of the fulfilling of God, taking and bringing himself, manifested in the age of human beings and in the stream of human beings and in the company of human beings. That was in this first coming. He says to make his word manifested in the day in the eastern rising of the sun. And he says, and to do the same thing as the sun sets in the west, to make himself manifested in the church, the word made manifested. So just as he made himself expressed in flesh in the eastern hemisphere, he say now at the end of the age, at the end of mankind, at the end of humanity, he's going to do the same thing as the sun sets in the west to make himself manifested where? In a bride church, the word made manifest. And he says it will too. He that understandeth, that is to know that's been revealed to him of him that sent me has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Do you know what it means to live in the age that we're living in? There will come a time when the last member of the body of Christ, there'll come a time when the last member who will die will die. It's amazing to think about that. There will come a time where the Lord will know that's the last one of the bride's body that's going to go into a grave. And those that are living in the bride's body are going to be alive and remain and are not going to taste death, but they are going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. That's the time that we're living in. There'll come a time where God will look upon the earth and say, there's not a one of them that's going to taste death. But they're the ones, they're the body that's going to translate, that's going to take that last enemy, which is death, and place it under their feet. That's the time that you're living in. Those are the types of things we ought to be expecting. Those are the types of things we ought to be believing in. Not saying, well, God, you still got to do this and you still got to do that. Saying, Lord, you said I had one thing to do. That was to lay in the presence of the sun and bake out all the greenness. It's right at the closing time, the sun has come out. And that evening light is the same sun, the same light that was in the morning. And the same thing he's doing now is making himself manifested in the bride church, in the age of human or in the stream of human beings, in the company of human beings. And we can find all these quotes where Brother Branham says, in human beings. He's doing it in you now. Because I live, ye live also. And he takes that very scripture, which is John 14:19, and he places it with John 14:12. And what he says in John 14:12 is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, in greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I believe in one place, Brother Branham quotes it and then says, same seed. You are of the same seed that Christ was. So if you're the same seed, then you've got to be the same son. You got to be the same daughter. Can't be something different. You've got to be, he says, it's the same seed. And Brother Brad makes these statements about John 14:12. He calls it that great promise today. He says it's his word that's promised for this day. He reads John 14:12 and he says, as he says, a greater work shall you do. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father and he says, these last days, oh my, the great changing of the time. We get into the beat of the word. Find his purpose, the hour that we're living. Brother Graham, over and over and over again, takes John 14:12 and he places it as bride scripture in the end time. That it wasn't just, the works that I do shall you do also, and you'll do more works. Because there's more of you doing them, but he's actually taken this element, whether it means more or even something greater. As Brother Bram takes both of those and makes them applicable, he's saying it's something that he's going to be doing in the end time through his body. Even in the message Shalom that he preaches in January of 64, he takes this very scripture and he connects it with the third pull. The greater works are connected with the third pull. What's the third pull? The opening of the word. He's taken this great scripture of verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And we could say, well, those works have been done by the believers through all ages. And he says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And Brother Bram says in the message, there's a man that can turn on the light. He says, listen, I want to just take you now and let this be personal. He says, look, watch this. When he stood there in John 14:12, now he said it. Now, if we're at the last end of the age, where is them greater works going to come? We are here. So he's saying, he's taking John 14:12, he's making an end time scripture. If we're at the last end of the age, where are the greater works going to come? Because we're here. We're at the time when John 14:12 should be fulfilled. And I love how he says it right before he asks the question. He says, I just want to take you now and let this be personal. Let this be personal. Where are the greater works going to come from? Let it be personal. So what would you say if he asked you? Now, I want you to make this personal. Brother David, I want you to make this personal. Where are the greater works going to come from? And you would say, well, from me. I'm going to let this be personal. Because he does it through his bride's body. Who's going to finish the work? You are. And it's not that you're something different. Because it's him in you. It's still him in you, but you're the one that's going to do it. We're not looking to a man. We're not, wait, well, Brother Brandon needs to come back. And Brother Brandon needs to come back and he needs to finish this all up. No, you're going to do it. Oh, we need Jesus Christ to come back and finish this all up. No, he wants to do it through you. He's doing something in you right now. If there's a sick person that needs to be healed, he wants to do it through your body. If the dead need to be raised, he wants to do it through your body. If there's a miracle to be done, he can do it through the body. Why? Because you are his voice. You are his hands. You are his eyes on earth today. What does that mean? You're something. It's him, Jesus Christ, in you, in his bride's body today, to manifest his life. And his brother says, to finish his work. In the message, it is the rising of the sun. I'm going to read a lengthy part here. And this is what I've been drawing from. It starts at paragraph 90. He says, and today, because he was the first son of God to come to full maturity, to be in God, he was plucked up from the earth and is waved over the people. Oh, what a glorious lesson. By the quickening power, the first one, although he had been typed, and many times, as we'll see later, that he was typed. But this was really the first fruit of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that had the promise of life. He was waved at the day of Pentecost when there came a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty, rushing wind and was waved over the people, the Pentecostal people that was up at Pentecost waiting for the blessing to come. He says, and to be waved again, we realize, in the last day. So he's saying that there was the first one that came up from the dead. Jesus Christ was the firstborn among the dead. He comes forward and he's been resurrected. He's the resurrection and the life. And he's saying that at the day of Pentecost, that word was waved over the people then. And then he says, it's got to happen again in the last day. So we have to have the word waved over us today. If you think about it, in the end time, if the bride is going to be like the first church that was at the day of Pentecost, then you have to look at the mechanics and the dynamics that made that group what they were. They were Jews, circumcised Jews, who had received their Messiah and therefore could receive that climax and culmination of their age, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the word was waved over them and they received it. And that's what made them the dynamic, powerful church that they were in the beginning. And so in order for this Gentile bride to be the same church that they were in that day, we can't look back in history and just claim what they have, because God promised that we would receive exactly what they received to be what they were. And we're not just taking another man's word for it, that Christ came and performed these things to the Jews, but he comes in our hour and he reveals in the coming of the Son of Man, he reveals himself the same way to the Gentile bride. It's the very same Son of Man that comes again and makes himself known to the Gentile bride. And that's why she can be the mechanics and the dynamics to be the same church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Because she's received her Messiah, the Word. And that's what Brother Branham said the Messiah would be. And he says it needs to be waved again. We realize in the last day, according to Luke 17:30, in the Sunday again. In the S-O-N day is what he says. In the day that the S-O-N of man will be revealed or waved again over the people. Now, who is the Son of Man? This is an important lesson. Brother Branham was not what was waved over the people. Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man as a priest doing the waving. But Christ, the Word, is the wave sheaf. It's not the man William Branham. But it was the word that he was waving. Now, who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what is the Word? Who is the Son of Man? It is the Word made flesh. He says, and if all the teaching that we have and the confirmation of the Word of God, by the Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today, that in the book of Luke here, that we just quoted from, or Luke the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, and Malachi 4, and the different scriptures that we are acquainted with, that that Word is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead, and the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us and is giving us life. Notice how he's placing these beautiful things, how he's that's to be waved again. And the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us. What is it he says in the masterpiece? He says the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself. He says, I mean, you must always read the next part. The Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. And he talks about how it'll come right down into perfection again where the husband and wife are the same self persons. This is you it's talking about. This is what Christ does. This is what the work of Calvary has wrought in the hour that we're living in. He says the dead traditions of man is dead and the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us and is giving us life. And Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth. Although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. In the bride, coming of Christ, coming out of the church. Some read this statement. I fellowship with many brothers on it. And they say, well, it's a difficult statement. It's in the bride coming out of the church. And then the coming of Christ is right in the middle of it. Or is it the bride coming of Christ? Or is it in the bride coming of Christ out of the church? He says, in the bride coming of Christ coming out of the church. Think of that. As he said this morning, could the bridegroom come and not be the bride? And so here he is now in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church. So she's going to come out of the church. If there's going to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ in his body, he says there'll be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Oh my, waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was wheat, that proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And the first time that will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. What a beautiful way to describe what that bride age is. He says it's a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. And the first time they'll come forth for the bride age. This is for the bride age. The sheaf ways is for the bride age. This resurrection is for the bride age. For a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message. Have you heard that message? Will be a message that the full maturity of the Word has turned back again in its full power, being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that He did back there. That's the message that you have received. He says, because I live, ye live also. Speaking to his wife, because I live, ye live also. What a resurrection that was, and what a resurrection this is. To be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. He was waved to them, the Word, which He was waved back to them on the day of Pentecost. The Word made manifest now, and as I say, is to be waved again in the last day. Not a repeat of Pentecost. Not just receiving what they received on the day of Pentecost, but a promise that He would come again and manifest Himself and express Himself according to prophecy, according to Scripture, so that there could be a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. So that the bride could come to a place of full power and full manifestation. To be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. And He says to be waved again in the last days. For what he says, a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. When he refers to dark denominationalism, he's describing Laodicea. Brother Branham describes Laodicea as darkness. He describes the church of Laodicea as being dead. And you'll find that Brother Branham time and time again refers to Revelation chapter 18 as being Laodicea. It's when Laodicea, it's when that Satan's Eden or God of this evil age has reached his perfection. And there's a climax in the condition of the church in Revelation chapter 18. And as we read, referred to, I believe, last night on Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and the great charge that is given to the Laodicean church age, there's something unique that happens at the end of the Laodicean church age that doesn't happen in any other church. Brother Branham says that at the end of the Laodicean church age, Christ is actually on the outside of his own church. He's been kicked out of his own church age. He's been kicked out of his own church. And so Christ is on the outside. So now after this, Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, there's a very unique declaration that is made at the end of that age that doesn't happen in any other age. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." It almost reads just like that. "At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father and the Father in me, I in you and you in me. At that day I'll come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." What had happened? He was outside of the rank of the church age. He'd been put outside the church, but there's a knocking. There's a knocking. Christ put out of the church, but now an entrance is being gained to be in fellowship with Christ where he can come into you and he can sup with you and you can sup with him. That's why I can say that we believe this, Revelation 18:4. Brother Branham's ministry, "Come out of her, my people." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues." That's Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And who is it to? You. You living here in Laodicea. You living in the darkness. You living in a time of death. There's actually a message saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her plagues." What's the results of her plagues? It's death. It's spiritual death. And then it's going to be a physical death for all that remain. Brother Bram even says it's the last plague that hits the church is spiritual death. And so this is what happens at the end of the age, at the closing time of the Laodicean church age. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I've been excommunicated. I've been kicked out of my own church. But now there comes an opening of the Word of God to invite the bride into Christ in an invisible union. He called it a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. If you recall, when we gave the definition of that term in the very first service, it means to stand up, to raise up, not only to life again, but to cause to stand on the feet, to be placed, to be made to stand. And in the masterpiece, I think it's in the masterpiece where Brother Branham shares the vision that he had, what we call the preview of the bride. I think it's in that message he uses it for the first time. And it's in July of 1964. And just maybe trying to recount it very quickly. In that sermon, he talks about, he sees the bride in all of her splendor and all of her beauty. And then he sees a succession of churches that come before him, and then gradually they get worse and worse. And he describes them as coming out of different nations, and he gets to the last church, and he calls it the Church of the USA. And then it's within a week or two that he's preaching again. And he even says why he's preaching. He says, I just caught that just now. That actually was Laodicea. And so the last church, which was from the church from the United States of America, it was that last filthy church out of Laodicea. It wasn't just a church from America, but it was a church. It was representative of Laodicea. And you can see if you start in the Reformation, and you can see that where it starts in Europe and it just comes further west and further west. And then in this last days, even the outpouring of Pentecost in there in Los Angeles, it ends up in the United States. So the representation of nations wasn't to make it like presently, this is what Germans look like and this is what the English look like and this is what Americans look like. But it was actually the unfolding of the ages in that last woman. But Brother Brown says was naked and danced in the ungodly music. He says that was the Laodicean church. And he describes them as descending into chaos, which is what this age does. It descends into chaos. It goes into darkness. He says he just watched them going down. But then he says the bride comes in preview again, or comes in view again. There's the bride that comes, and then there's a falling down, or just a church after church, which is filthy and ungodly. And it comes to Brother Bram saying, "Oh my, is this what my ministry produced? Is this what I produced?" And then this great announcement is, the bride shall come into preview again. And then this beautiful bride comes marching forward. And Brother Branham describes her this way, because I'm talking about this resurrection. He says, instead of going down, they started going up. Laodicea, going down into chaos, going down further into darkness. But while Laodicea is descending into darkness, there's a bride that's heard a voice. She's heard a message. She's heard a shout. And instead of going down, she's already going up. Rabbi Adam says, when you hear that eagle scream, quickly you're raptured up to meet it. What's happened? There's already been a spiritual resurrection for you. There's already been a rapturing started inside of you. He says, instead of going down, they started going up. Don't worry about what's taking place around you. Let them all sink. Let them all drown. Don't worry about it. It speaks nothing of your character. It speaks nothing of your destiny. Why? Because you're starting to go up. He says in another place, and then as they started leaving, they're already started raising higher and higher. And then he describes it this way. And just as they started going right up into the skies, this one went up to a brink of a hill and then went down like that. What's that? Laodicea. They went to a brink of a hill. They had just gotten as far as they would go, and then they start going down. He says, these started marching right up into the sky. Right up into the sky. Now, if you wanted to say, well, Brother Aaron, I think that's when our bodies are changed and we go to meet the Lord in the air. Well, I can take that. But Brother Branham, in that vision, says, as they've already started leaving, and as they've already started going up, he says, a few in the back, and he describes them whether from Sweden or Switzerland. And so finally, there's a quote that doesn't blame it on the Americans. And it's somebody in Europe, perhaps, or maybe they're European, so that look European, so that's us again. But he says, they started to get out of step. And he says, don't get out of step. Get back in step. So as we're ascending, as we're raising, we're still being put in line. We're still being put in step because we're rising to translation. He says there will be a message of full maturity, that the full maturity of the word has returned back. There will come forth for the bright age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. It's the bride's spiritual resurrection out of the darkness of Laodicea. There are so many statements I would love to read to you on this very subject. She is to come on the scene in the last days. Talking about the bride. It's the bride rising up. It's the bride coming on the scene. It's the full word being born into manifestation. And he says the bride will bring forth the word in its entirety. The entirety of the life has to be produced again in the seed, in the bride's body. Brother Branham says in the masterpiece, where he quotes this very event that took, or this very vision, he says, as the masterpiece fell, there is a masterpiece rising. The masterpiece fell at Nicaea. After Nicaea, she's coming through a process, but she's coming right back again to that masterpiece perfected, because she's part of that word that was spoken by him. He says, notice the husk puts the original seed out of itself. In Revelation, the third chapter, we find this. Now remember, no other church was he put out of in the Bible of the seven church ages. How many remembers it? He passed through the church age to go on to make something else. That's a statement, isn't it? He passed through the church age to go on to make something else. But this is it. There's nothing else. But the sculptor has got it back to perfection again, the word. Don't go back. How different it is. Yes. Oh, and we'll just skip to paragraph 166. He says, now at the harvest time, the seed is back to its original life, back to the Bible. Paragraph 175, the masterpiece was come and struck down. From his side came forth the helpmate, and she is brought up in the same process. Now here she is back again with all nature, the Bible and everything else showing here we are. Praise the Lord. She's come through the process. God's guided it down through all the ages. It's come through the process. But now it's coming out into the complete. This resurrection is the bride's body coming into the perfection of the Son of Man. And Brother Branham says in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And I'll do as I often do. I'll invite the musicians to come just to build expectation for a close. It kind of wakes everybody up. Okay, good. He's closing. They kind of start stretching a little bit. He says in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He talks about how there was angels that went down into Sodom. But there was one represented. Will be represented among the churches. Will be Christ Himself vindicating Himself. He says, identified. All the devil is howling about this. What is he mad about? The manifested truth of the promise of the Word in her alone. That's what the devil's mad about. The manifestation of the promised truth in you alone. They don't have the answer. When Jesus come, why didn't those Pharisees? He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, why do you cast them out? See, he stood alone. And the church stands alone. She is not hooked with nothing. But he was identified by God, being the body that God dwelt in. And the church is identified by his body, doing the same thing. She is his body. The manifested truth of his promised word for the last days. Where is the truth manifested? In the bride's body. Where else? Nowhere else. Because it says it's in her alone. And that's what makes the devil angry. The devil's howling about the manifested truth of the promise of the word in her alone. She is his body, the manifested truth of his promised word for the last days. And she alone stands by it. That's why the devil is howling. These great organizations to set something to close her up. They'll never do it. She will be taken up, not closed up. They'll never be able to do it. They can close church doors, but they can't close your heart. They can shut something physically, but they can't stop the spiritual resurrection. It's already been set in motion. There's no threat. There's no intimidation. There's no government move. There's no political move. There's no social move. There's no economic move that can ever stop the bride's body. Oh my, they're howling to set something up to close her up. They'll never do it. She'll be taken up, not closed up. She is now risen. She is now risen. She is now resurrected. And by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. Amen. How a bride holds that promise. He told me he would return again after me. I believe it. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. To meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her lord, her lover, her savior in the provided meeting place. He's got a place to meet them. Do we know where that place is? Oh, to meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her lord, her lover, her savior in the provided meeting place. Because she is now risen. Brother Bam comes much later in that same message, Christ is the mystery. He says, we have Satan's answer. God has vindicated himself. God proves himself to his promise in this day. Hallelujah. The headship is here. Notice how he brings, he settles this question. She is now risen by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. How a bride holds to that promise. He told me he would return after me. I believe it. To meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her lord, her lover, her savior in the provided meeting place. And the prophet says, the headship is here. Amen. Christ, the risen Lord, is here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was manifested himself. There's the devil's answer. That's what the devil can't handle. That's the answer to the devil's question. That's the answer to their bluff. That's the answer to their criticism and their skepticism. You say, oh my, well, what's the proof of it? What's the proof of it? You're the proof of it. Where's the proof that Brother Branham's ministry did what he said he would do? How do we know that his commission was fulfilled? How do we know that he's thoroughly identified and fully proven and fully vindicated? You're it. Brother Wayne Lawson shared with me one time, I thought it was very, very profound, how that there's people who deny the Holocaust. And they're denying, well, that it ever happened. He said, but the proof of it was that Israel was in their homeland.
Argue with whether or not it happened all you want, but the proof is that that those people are in their homeland. Argue what you want about what's happened in this message, whether the book's been taken, whether Brother Branham's message fulfilled what it was promised to do. Argue all you want about history, but we're the living manifestation of its vindication. You're the proof that this message was what it was. You're the proof that Brother Branham was the forerunner. You're the very manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth today. It may seem small. It may seem trivial. Say, well, Brother Branham, or Brother Aaron, we work and we go to school and we raise children and we get sick and we run to the hospital and we try to pay bills and we get in debt and all these things happen. That has nothing to do with it. It's the character that God is furnishing to you through those trials. It's the very Word of God that you take your heart and take your bosom and you believe regardless of the skeptics, regardless of the critics, regardless of what's come and gone. The fact that you've held to it, even if it's just a few, those few that hold to it to the very time of the change will be the vindication. This message was the truth. Brother Branham says, and it is the rising of the sun. I've got so much more here I wanted to share, but we'll just do it next Easter. But he says, and it is the rising of the sun when he's glorified in us by his resurrection that's in us. We see him represented again as he was today. When we see his resurrection in us, we see him resurrected today. We see him represented again today as he was then. Oh my. We have seen him as he is. The Word. And now you're like him. Right? Brother Bram said, she is him. Bone of his bone, flesh of flesh. She is him. Why? Because you've seen him as he is. He is the Word. And you've seen him in his Word. And you've become him. He said, did you get that? See, our desire is not to be glorified. Our desires are not to be some big name. Our desires are not to boost some church or make more in the Sunday school or try to bring in a hog tie, push in, offer a picnic party, bring stars, buttons, or something else like that. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see him glorified. The bride's attitude is not, well, look at us now, don't look at Christ. Her attitude is, look at Christ. One desires to see him glorified. Glorified, not with self-pride, but in us, our lives, to prove he is alive and living in us. If I can get myself out of the way, so when William Branham's not even thought of, and you not even thought of, till we can see Jesus glorified among us, see him, that's our desire. That's what we should want to see. Jesus Christ glorified in us and among us. Gives us quickening power. And it gives us joy to know that we are with him, both flesh and bone of him, being the bride of him, and seeing his same vindicated methods, proving in us that he is now risen from the dead. That he is now risen from the dead. There'll never need to be another cycle. There has always been a cycle of revival and death. Right? The cycle is broken. Think about that. The cycle's broken. If this kept going 1,000 years, they'll keep being strong, faithful, Holy Ghost-filled message believers. I'm not saying it will be. But if it continues, I don't care, for another 50 years, they'll be solid, faithful, God-fearing, message believers filled with the Holy Ghost, believing it just the same way you do. And they'll never need another prophet come to correct them, to straighten them out, to bring them back to the truth, because that cycle has been broken. And I don't know how many more moments it'll be, how many more weeks it'll be, how many more years it'll be before the Lord comes and we meet him in the air. But I'm telling you right now that the cycle is broken. The bride's revival will not end. It'll never end. Even in the translation, it just keeps going. We come back to the earth from the millennium. The revival just keeps going. We go back to White Throne. Our revival just keeps going. A day has dawned that will never end. Because there is not another spiritual death for God's elect. There's not another cycle where he needs to bring another prophet. And that's why we don't fall for false prophets. That's why we don't fall for eighth messengers. Because the bride has been united to her bridegroom. And the cycle has been broken. And He's proving now in you that He is now risen. Thank the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. I thank God for His grace. Oh, I thank God for what He's done for us in this last day. Are you thankful for it? Maybe we could just offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Why don't you just thank Him? I'll pray, but you feel free to pray yourself and just thank Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for what You've done in this last day. Lord, as we walk that line, Lord, of this great, the very capping of the capstone, that very climactic point. Lord, as we're standing on the very top of that mountain, Lord, we thank You for what You've done. We can look back and see everything that You've done and then see what we're living in this time right now. And it gives us a hope and an expectation of what will be. Father, I thank You so much for the beautiful message that we can just go to time and time again and it never gets stale to us. It's always living. It's always active. It's always alive. And not on paper, Lord, but in our flesh. And I ask, Father, that You give strength to these believers for the journey. May they, as we read from the very beginning, that they are part of this resurrection. And that they don't need to worry anymore. They don't need to fear. It's settled. They're part of it. And may we just rejoice in it and enjoy it. We thank You, Father, for the love You've shown us through the Word. I commit the people to You, desiring that You encourage them by Your Word. You strengthen them. Feed them day by day. Bless this church. Bless its pastor. Bless all the associate ministers who labor here. And bless the work that they're doing around the world. And may we understand the context of this labor. That it is this resurrection that we're declaring. This resurrection that we're spreading. That it might climax one day for us. We commit it all to You, Lord. Thanking You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Why don't we just rejoice for a little bit and praise the Lord. Because we know where we're going. Amen. Why don't we sing that first verse?
Well, do you want to know?
sing that second verse again.
Oh, and I can take the pain. Some glad morning when this life is over, I will fly away. Oh, and to our God celestial shore.
Fire. and it's keeping me alive. I know it's keeping me alive. I know it's keeping me alive. With the Holy Ghost in my heart, and it's keeping me alive. I know that Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, it is all over me, and it's keeping me alive. I know it's keeping me alive. I know He's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. I know that Jesus is keeping me. It's the Holy Ghost. Well, it's the Holy Ghost in my, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost in my, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive. It's all over me. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. I know it's keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me, from my head down to my feet. Oh, and Jesus is keeping me alive. Well, my God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. God's not dead. I know that He is alive. In my feet, I feel them in my heart, I feel them all over me. Come on, move around a little. Oh, my God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. I know that God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. I feel them in my hands, I feel Him in my feet, I feel Him in my heart, I feel Him all over. That's a little bit better, but do more to go home. Well, my God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. I know my God's not dead. I know that He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. I feel Him in my hand, I feel Him in my feet, I feel Him in my heart, I feel Him all over me. Give the Lord some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's not dead. He's alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, He's alive and well. Give me the key of G again. I lost it. Do you sing that song? He's alive and well,
living in me to tell the world that He is the same. Oh, He's the same today.
Dismissal song, but I'd just like to say a prayer blessing upon you before you go. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this Easter weekend. And may you just have a sure confidence that regardless of where your life looks, the ups and downs, just know that spiritually your trajectory is headed right out of here. matter what this life looks like, just know that you're rising. You're ascending. You're getting higher and higher spiritually. And that these great promises that lay in the Word, just keep feeding on this message. It's not stale. It's not out of fashion. It's not ineffective. Just keep feeding on it. Keep doing what you're doing. And it's just going to continue to work, bring out of you more gold and more precious character of Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing upon this church, upon this people, the pastor, the leadership here, and the different labors that each one undertakes, all the different offices. Lord, I pray that you continue this revival in their midst, stirring them up by the Word of God. Lord, may they be a people that has this understanding that they're not living to go to church, but they go to church to live. That the things that they're seeing here and hearing here and experiencing here are to make a difference on the Monday morning and the Thursday nights. Father, I commit them to you tonight, believing that they'll take you at your word for whatever situation they have need of in their lives. And may you continue to walk with them in this evening time. The very light of the world, Lord, walking with the believers in this end time. We commit them to you, praying a blessing upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord.
Well, He's alive and well, living in me too. Overcoming sins.